Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
Oh, yeah! Welcome back to another episode of Tube Talk presented by vidIQ. I am your host, Viper, the man about tech, executive producer of social media here at the IQ. And I know you've heard me say it over and over again, but I'm going to reiterate it again because it's going to be the theme of this week's podcast. Creators, the most important relationship that you will ever have is that between you and your viewer. Let me repeat that for the people in the back. Creators, the most important relationship you will ever have is between you and your viewers. You need to build a relationship with them. You need to build trust with them. They need to be able to understand and believe what you tell them. Because when you strengthen that relationship, that is what will help you grow a platform on YouTube or any other social network for that matter. But that relationship is strengthened and built on trust and you coming out there with factual, correct information and you not trying to mislead the viewer. In a few moments, I'm going to have my homie and fellow vidIQ colleague, Travis MCP, on the podcast because he recently made a video titled Why You Shouldn't Trust YouTubers. And I think it's a very important video that a lot of my listeners should go watch and understand. It will definitely be down there in the show notes. But me and Travis are going to come on this podcast and talk about why the relationship, which I just alluded to, is so important and what happened or what could happen if you don't maintain that trust with your viewers. So let me bring Travis in here and let's roll to the podcast. Welcome back to Tube Talk presented by vidIQ. And this week we had to bring in some in-house banging creator advice here from our man, my fellow vidIQ colleague, Travis MCP is with me this week on the podcast. Travis, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm excited to be back. It's been a minute, and it's always great to be here.
It is always great to have you. So, Travis, I invited you on the podcast this week because you just made a banger video on your personal YouTube channel, and I think the title was Why You Can't Trust YouTubers or something to that extent. Mm-hmm. But the premise of the video was you kind of felt like there are some creators out there who might not be appropriately disclosing relationships that they have with brands. And in the video, you talked about some of the consequences and why it's so important that creators accurately disclose when they have relationships with brands, when they make videos about what the brand is doing as far as product services goes, if the brand is paying you, different things like that. So talk to us a little bit about what sparked the video and then just your thoughts on these creators who might not be doing it properly.
Yeah, and actually some stuff has happened since that video's come out. So if I forget to mention that, let me know, because I got a couple messages from people, including one DM, about some creators that are highly suspicious. So let me talk about what the premise was. So the premise was, I really wasn't looking to make this video. What happened was I was watching a bunch of content on YouTube, and it occurred to me that creators were not disclosing. Now, I could tell this. And let's rewind for people who maybe don't know exactly what we're talking about. When a creator receives payment, whether it be from a a brand or a product to review as part of FCC guidelines in America and other guidelines across the world, you're supposed to disclose that in a very clear way that you were given this product or paid for this video, so that the viewer can make their own decision on how deeply to trust you, I suppose, or at the very least, even to just know, just to have the general information, right?
Yeah.
Also, it's in YouTube guidelines. All this stuff is there. I think, when you start a YouTube channel and stuff, you're not given like a book, so to speak, like all the things you need to do. not even all creators are even in this position. You might have gamers that are never given like anything. So there's really like, it doesn't affect them at all. Or you might have someone who started in one niche and then moves over to another niche, which is actually what happened to me. And then just isn't educated on the subject. So instead of calling them out by name, which I could have done because I'm pretty certain they know, but I might be wrong. I decided to just say in a very kind of vague space that there are creators out there that are not doing what they're supposed to do when they're reviewing products or being given a product and then reviewing it and making it seem like they bought it, or they don't even mention that they bought it or anything. It just appears on their doorstep and now they're reviewing it. But they never mentioned that it was sent to them. And it's really important because, you know, when someone watches that video later on, they're just assuming all of their opinions on it are completely unbiased. And while you can definitely have an unbiased opinion about a product that is sent to you, people need to understand that that's what happened. Again, that's why the guidelines are there. That's why the FTC has these guidelines and such. And the FTC can indeed fine you. Now, there's been some case law. Some of the people in comments were telling me that, like, sometimes when they go to sue you, sometimes they don't even win. But I'm just going to put it like this. You never want to get sued. I don't care if you're going to win the thing. You still got to get a lawyer. That's expensive. And maybe eventually you can try to claw some of that money back. But in the meantime, the lawyer is going to charge you money. And it's going to be a lot of money. So you don't want that. All you have to do is say, this product was sent to me for review. Or, you know, this is a sponsored video if it's something that's paid for. Like, it's very simple. It takes 2 seconds. And then you never have to worry about any of this again. And it's just weird to me that some of these creators are doing this. And again, it could be ignorance. But I feel like sometimes it may not be. Since that video, I've received messages, including one DM, that went into detail about how some of these creators are purposefully doing this and avoiding this kind of disclosure. And in some cases, based on what I was told, just straight up taking the bag in a roundabout sort of way. I'll be vague about the description of what this thing is, but one particular person reached out to me and told me that there are a couple of creators that will, for example, you might find a creator that ends up somewhere in the manufacturer of a particular product's warehouse talking to the manufacturer and like, oh, you know, we were flown out or whatever to go do this thing. Or right. Sometimes they won't even say that they're flown out. They just appear. In the manufacturer's place. What's interesting is typically when, and Mr. Mobile, I talked about in my video, does such a good job of disclosing everything. And it's never, whenever he does something like that, they basically just pay for his room and board. They like never really give him more money, at least for anything I've ever seen of his. That's not the case. What I was told about, there's a specific scheme where from the outset, you look at the video like, oh, they flew him there and gave him some food and then sent him back. Mm-hmm. This person said that some creators avoid disclosing a sponsored video by traveling to see the brand, which is, you know, whatever. And then they send the brand an invoice for much more than it costs them to go. At that point, it would be like a sponsored video. So for example, if they took a team of people there and it cost them $10,000 to fly there, you would expect the company to just reimburse that. And just, it would still be an even keel thing. Like, we flew you out. We just wanted you to be here. We wanted to teleport you here. And not take any money out of your pocket and send you back. That's it. That's what you would expect. Mm-hmm. But the creator is now sending an invoice for upwards of like $100,000. Now that's just straight up paid thing.
Why?
But okay. They're not disclosing it was sponsored. So,
this is where my first question comes in. Yeah. Because I can't for the life of me, Travis, understand why a creator wants to hide that information from the viewer. Why would a creator willingly go out of their way not to tell the viewers that a brand is sponsoring a video or a brand sent a product or service to them for the purpose of the video? Why hide that information anyway?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the most obvious reason I can think of is they think that if they say that, then you know, their viewers will stop respecting them or think that, hey, this is a sponsored video, so I don't need to pay attention, whatever. It's a bogus excuse if that's the reason. I would love to know if there's another reason. I think there probably is, and I'm just not aware of whatever the other reason is, because that seems like such a weak reason that if that's really the reason someone's not disclosing, they need to find a new line of work, because this is not for you. it's just not for you.
So the thing is, when a creator willingly hides this type of information, and let's say the audience finds out that the brand did pay the creator to make the video, then that creator risks compromising that relationship that they built their audience. And as you and me both know, as YouTubers currently, it takes a long time and it's not the easy thing in the world to build an audience. And that relationship between creator and audience is built through trust. We've both been doing it for 5+ years now, so we know how difficult this is. But when you compromise that trust with an audience because you don't disclose the relationship with a brand or other things that you could do to compromise that trust with the audience, it is very, very difficult, sometimes almost impossible to get that trust back with the audience once you disclose it. So I don't understand why creators put themselves in their position to potentially compromise the relationship they have with their audience when all you got to do, to your point, like you said, just tell the audience what's going on. Be truthful. I mean, ultimately, the people are going to make their own decision anyway, but they are much more willing to stand with you if you are honest from jump about what's happening instead of trying to pull the wool over their eyes. Because once they find out they've been deceived and lied to, good luck with that.
It's funny to me, and I think you and I are very much aligned on this whole subject, that, again, like you said, if they do find out, which inevitably it always comes out in the end, you're going to look worse. And by the way, a lot of people already think you're sponsored when you're not anyway. I mean, how many times, Viper, have you been? I know it's been happening to me. Apple paid you for this, or Samsung paid you? Of course, it never happened, right?
Right.
They already think this. So why not just say, yeah, for this video, we were compensated. And there's large creators that do this. They're freely like, we were sponsored for this one. Like, who cares? What's the big deal? There has to be just more instances where it's ignorance. Maybe they just don't know. And I would hope that they would learn and do it correctly. But the other problem is it makes all of us look bad, Viper. And it really, this is why people say that we're sponsored and stuff when we're obviously not. And we tell you, we tell you when we get something, it makes us look bad because someone else has done it. And then either they get exposed or whatever. And it's like, oh, then all YouTubers are like that. And it's not the case. It's terrible, and it's very frustrating to do it the right way and have other people do it the wrong way, and then you catch flack for them. Hate that. I hate all of that.
Yeah, to your point, we all kind of get lumped into one group when one creator goes out of pocket. To your point, it makes all of us look bad.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I really want to go back and hone in on, a point that you made earlier, do you think that we have to do to disclose these relationships? These are legal obligations. Yes. Yes, it's part of the YouTube guidelines, YouTube requires it, but the law, the federal government requires creators to disclose relationships that they have with brands, no matter if you're getting paid by a brand or you're getting sent free product. You are legally obligated, creator, to disclose that information to your audience. Otherwise, you can be held as a criminal, as committing a crime. Not to mention the FTC can sue you up to $50,000 if you don't disclose the information. I don't know about you, Travis, but I don't got $50,000 laying around, my guy.
I don't got it. And, you know, the thing is, of course, a lot of people are thinking, well, I mean, I'm too small. They might never find me. And that is possibly true. And actually, almost likely true. Having said that, is it really worth the risk to not just say for 2 seconds, oh, yeah, this was sent to me. And by the way, no one cares. No one cares as much as you do. They just want to know, is the thing good or not? And then they might go, okay, well, he got it sent for free, so he might have overlooked something. So let me go watch another video as well, which you should be doing anyway. And then you're good. You're all good. I just can't get around. I mean, as a first creator, I do remember when I very first started out, it felt weird to critique a company. I actually made a video about this back in 2018. It felt weird to critique a product from a company that sent it to me. I was very conflicted in the moment, but I made a video about why I was conflicted. And I get that. I understand that aspect. But, you know, for these videos, like when you're glowing over and it's okay to show all the positives of a product, especially if they paid you for it, because that's what you're supposed to do. It's basically a commercial at that point. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that either, because here's the thing. AdSense is all over the place. 1 week you might get, or 1 month you might get a good bag. Next month, because views are down, you might not get a good bag. Sponsor deals can be a lot more an even playing field. And to get that to keep you creating and doing things, maybe you have editors that you hire, whatever, is a good thing. So don't feel like you can't disclose that a product was given to you or you were paid to make this video. I mean, you see it all the time. It's pretty obvious when something is a paid thing. When you have a mobile channel doing like a vacuum cleaner review, like obvious, like, okay, you didn't just feel like doing a vacuum cleaner review today. It was sponsored. That's okay. Just show me about the vacuum cleaner. Maybe I want to pick one up.
Yep. So I think it's very important to disclose here that FTC guidelines are different from YouTube guidelines as it relates to the things that you need to do on YouTube. They're two different things, but they both need to be enforced as long as you are putting content on the YouTube platform. But I'm going to specifically talk about the FTC here for a moment. The FTC mandate creators that when you are in a relationship with a brand as it relates to making content for that brand, whether it be that brand paid you or that brand sent you a product or service to, and you're making a video about that thing. Not only do you need to verbally call that out in the video that you make, you also need to put it in the description in text form so it's easily seen and known by your viewer that you have that relationship with that brand. The FTC requires this. And even when you are not on YouTube and you have a brand going on, you are required by FTC to disclose that. 2 years ago, Google flew a bunch of us out to New York for Camp Pixel. And they gave us all Pixel 8 phones or whatever, and we ran around the Catskills in New York making content for Google. When we uploaded that content to social media, we had to include hashtag gift from Google for every time we posted content relating to that trip. Because again, Google was following the FTC guidelines. And because of that, we were required to follow the FTC guidelines because Google didn't want anybody to get in trouble and they didn't want to come afoul of the FTC. So you need to be very careful, creators, that when you are doing these relationships and these deals with these brands, that you make sure that you are following the letter of the law. Now, to be clear though, not everything is a brand deal. Brand deals normally involve you getting paid actual money, and usually they are involving you signing an actual contract. That is a brand deal, which is different from affiliate marketing. If you have an affiliate relationship with a brand, you have to disclose that as well. But that is not a brand deal. But affiliate conversion and affiliate marketing is different from a brand deal. A brand deal means that you are getting or you have agreed to get paid a certain amount of money from a brand and that brand has you sign a contract. That is a brand deal. That is not affiliate marketing, which with affiliate marketing, you only get paid. You only make money if you convert sales for that brand. So usually with affiliate marketing, there's no contract involved. It's just creator will give you a link. And if your link converts such and such sale for our brand, we'll pay you a percentage of the conversion and on you go.
Look, as YouTube creators ourselves, we've all been there. Sometimes the next video on your weekly upload schedule is right around the corner, but you have no idea what you're going to record. Well, this exact situation is why vidIQ developed Daily Ideas. It's our newest tool that can help provide you with up to 50 new video ideas every single day. Your daily ideas are generated by our AI, which analyzes your channel and the wider YouTube community to find trending topics with high view potential. With this new tool, you'll never run out of great ideas for new videos. You can try Daily Ideas for yourself today by downloading vidIQ at vidIQ.com.
I want to read some of the actual rules so that people who are listening to this can actually have some actionable things. Mm-hmm. I'm on the FTC website. There's a PDF you can download. It's called Social Disclosures 101 for Social Media Influencers. If you Google it, you'll find it. We'll read a couple of the more important stuff. How to disclose, okay? Make sure people will see and understand the disclosure. Place it so it's hard to miss. The disclosure should be placed with the endorsement message itself, which means if you're talking, it should be while you're talking. If it's text, it should be text, whatever. Disclosures are likely to be missed if they only appear in an About Me or profile page, or in our case, description, at the end of a post or video or anywhere that requires a person to click more. That's considered under the fold, as they call it. Don't mix your disclosure in with a group of hashtags or links. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. If your endorsement is on a picture platform like Snapchat or Instagram, superimpose the disclosure over the picture to make sure the viewers have enough time to notice and read it. It's an interesting one. Yep. If making an endorsement in a video, this applies directly to us, the disclosure should be in the video and not just in the description uploaded with the video. Viewers are far more likely to notice disclosures made in both audio and video, and some viewers may watch without sound and others may not notice superimposed words. They want it to be super clear.
Yeah,
like go over. Now, for live stream streamers, there's an additional, which is really interesting. If making an endorsement in a live stream, the disclosure should be repeated periodically so viewers who only view that part of the stream will get the disclosure. Mm-hmm. That's one that no one ever talks about. So like Twitchers, right, and stuff, they might have something and not realize that they have to continually say every so often, maybe not every 5 minutes, right, but maybe every 30 minutes or so, say, hey, you know, we're doing this sponsored keyboard or whatever the heck it is.
And as it relates to live streaming, you see this done regularly on radio. I've been watching a lot of radio via YouTube, a lot of radio stations that are live broadcasting on YouTube. And every half an hour or 15 minutes or whatever, they will reiterate who their sponsors are for that particular day or whatever, and they repeat it. So there you go.
Yep. And a couple more. Don't assume that the platform's disclosure tool is enough. This is that thing that you check in YouTube, which you need to check, that says this video may sponsor that, you know, whatever. That's actually, according to FTC, that's not enough. Nope. And what else to know? Here are the last three things that I think are really important, because these fall under a slightly different category, but are equally important. You can't talk about your experience with a product you haven't tried. Mm. I know that that's like, duh, but if you think about it, you could. It's a slippery slope, because let's say, for example, Viper, like this microphone I'm using, I say it's a fantastic microphone. I've been using it for 2 years. I love it, which is all true. And they just came out with a new version. Oh, I'm sure that one is great. It's amazing. It's fantastic. No, I've never tried it. So I can't say that. That's what we call in the everyday field, lying. Right. That's what that is. So don't lie. Okay. If you're paid to talk about a product and thought it was terrible, you can't say it's terrific. That's interesting. Again, don't lie, basically, is what it's saying. I don't know what happens when, I know what happened with me. If someone gave me a product and I thought it was terrible, I'm just not going to do the video. I'll give them the money back. But they're basically saying, if you're paid to talk about a product and you thought it was terrible, you can't say it was good. You basically either have to say it's terrible or you get that money back. And the last one, this is one that most people would definitely not think about. You can't make up claims about a product that would require the proof, that will require proof the advertiser does not have, such as scientific proof that a product can treat a health condition or something like, man, let me tell you about this microphone, Viper. This thing will cure cancer. Mm. Ooh, can't say that. Ooh. Heck, it might cause cancer. Can't say that either. So, yeah.
So I want to go to the YouTube part of this, because as you just alluded to, there is a section in your back studio when you were uploading a video that there's a box that you can check that says include paid promotion. Now, there's been some back and forth discussion on when this box should be checked. Now, Travis just said, and he's absolutely correct, that the FTC doesn't care about the box. But just for the purposes of the conversation and the podcast that we're doing, I want to talk about the box real quick. So, I want to talk about it because us creators have a different interpretation of when the box should be checked. So, I'll just let you know how I feel, and then I'll get Travis' thoughts, and then we'll go from there. Viper is not checking this box if Viper did not receive any money, real money, that can pay my bills or whatever the case may be from something that a brand is doing for me in a video or for a video. Like if a brand is just sending me a product and they like Viper review the product, Viper is not checking the pay promotion box because product does not pay my bill. Travis, I don't know if you feel similarly or you feel differently about checking that box. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let's read the wording. They need to be a lot more clear about this, and it's probably in the learn more, but here's what they say. If you are compensated to include a product or service in your video, you're required to let us know. And that is very vague. It says compensated. I think most people would do exactly what you're doing. Say, they didn't pay me money. That's it. Compensation could also be taking you out to dinner or flying you somewhere else or whatever. Right. I think you would know to do it there too, but it's not, it needs to be more clear. The wording is I would err on the side that you're on and think that if they send me a product, I don't consider that compensation at all. However, I would still disclose, you still have to disclose it.
Yeah.
So this, when it says, does this video include paid promotion? I would say paid 9 times out of 10 is money, trips, stuff like that. And 9 times out of 10, it's not something that we're using. So I think you're probably in a pretty good position by keeping it at that level.
Yeah. And I want to reiterate what you just said. Just because I don't click the box does not mean that I won't verbally disclose that in the video or put it in the description in text form that to let you know that there is a relationship that is in between me and the brand for that particular video. I'm still going to let you know that a brand sent me such and such. For those of y'all who watch my content, whenever Nomad sent me out a product, I'll let you know at the very beginning of the video that shout out to my good friends over at Nomad for sending me such and such product looking into the video. And then I put that in that same thing in the text to let you know that, yes, I did get this product sent from Nomad. This is why this video is happening. but I'm not clicking include pay promotion when Nomad sent me a product and they didn't pay me money. I'm not doing that. But to be clear, though, checking that box, like Travis said earlier, the FTC doesn't care about the box. The FTC has specific guidelines that we have to follow in this situation, which is what I just alluded to, letting you know verbally and in the text field of the video description that this thing is happening and I have a relationship with that brand. I am legally obligated to do that via FTC guidelines. So I do that when I get a product sent to me. So got to make sure you know all the rules and the guidelines and you are following them properly so you don't get fined $50,000. Nobody wants to get fined $50,000.
I don't. And that's for every, that's not just $50,000. It's for every instance of failing to, which is kind of scary. It's like a bit, again, is it something that will happen to you? Probably not. But do you even want to risk the chance? No. What is the one time that a small YouTuber would get sued and it's you? Like, you don't want to be, you don't want to be the mistake that everyone else has to learn from. At the end of the day, you know, I think this is really good to know. And also it builds trust with your community. In making this video, some of the comments I received were that they did trust me. And because I do videos like this and call this stuff out, that they know they can trust when I do a video about something, which is great. I want that trust because when I do actually do sponsored videos or anything like that, which is kind of rare, I do it because I believe in the product or service and I do want my viewership to engage on that and perhaps take some of the things I have to say to heart and go, you know, at least consider this thing because I think it's great. I think it's the very least you should look into it. If I'm constantly doing this shenanigans where it makes it seem like I'm sponsored, but I'm not, or vice versa, and you just have no idea if you can trust me, then what's the point of watching my stuff? I think it's for specific niches, it's incredibly important to build the trust and show that you can be trusted. And the people who are upfront and honest the entire time are the ones you can trust.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times creators are hesitant to click that include pay promotion box because, you know, the viewers already have a certain, I don't want to say stigma, but they have a certain expectation that when you click that box and it usually shows up within the first like 30 seconds to a minute of the video, it'll be up in the upper left corner, include pay promotion or whatever. The viewers have a certain expectation that it's going to be a commercial or whatever. So I think a lot of creators are hesitant to click that box because they don't want a viewer to get that particular expectation when they see that box in the video. But again, this isn't about covering your behind and just following the rules of the platform as well. And what Travis just said, when you follow the rules and do things properly, your viewers will trust you more. And they might be more likely to engage with your sponsored content when it comes up and about. As long as you're following the rules and you're, you know, you are valuing their time and you're being upfront and honest with them about what's going on. Because again, when you try to deceive the viewer, that's when you're going to run into trouble because as Travis said, the truth always comes to light. They're going to find out that you're messing around and there goes your trust out the window. So why even risk that when you could just follow the rules, let them know what's going on upfront and then let them make their own decision. 9 times out of 10, they're going to support you because they love what you do anyway, especially if you're being honest with them to begin with.
Yeah. And for some creators, like I said earlier, this might not apply to you at all because maybe no one ever sends anything to you because maybe you're a vlogging channel or a gaming channel and you don't get stuff sent to you. But if you become large enough in this space, in any space, really, there's going to be some type of brand that's going to want to work with you because they want more eyes on their product. So even if you're thinking, well, you know, I just play Fortnite, no one ever pays attention to me, or, you know, I'm just vlogging about my cat, there might be Petco might want some of your action, or you know, maybe you know, a creator of a new controller wants to, you know, send you a product, and all of a sudden now you're in a situation that you never expected to happen, and it happens a lot more often than you might think. It's just, and when you're at that point in your creative journey, I get that you might not know and it's a mistake. Can you go back and fix it? You can go in the description and try to, you know, change things, but I think just moving forward is the move here. For creators that are established and do this all the time, I really look at them side eye. It's possible they don't know, but and I'm not the police to come out here and try to tell everyone what to do, but I feel like the guidelines exist for a reason, and they're actually to protect the viewer and consumer. They're not here to prop us up or make us look bad. They're here to protect the consumer, to not be tricked into purchasing something because they thought their favorite YouTuber or influencer really enjoyed the product or service when they actually were just being compensated to say they did.
Absolutely. I want to go back to something that you just said as far as when it can happen in your creative journey. For me, it happened pretty early. It happened when I had around 300 to 500 subscribers, I think. Rinky, I remember, was the first brand that reached out to me to send me something. And again, they weren't paying me. They just wanted to send me some casings to review for my channel. And I only had three to 500 subscribers, somewhere around there, which is pretty early on in my creator career. So this stuff happened pretty early on. Like, these brands aren't really waiting that much anymore. If they find that you provide value to an audience, they will reach out to you pretty quickly, and you'll find yourself in a situation where you're going to need to disclose these relationships pretty early on in your creator career. Now, you can say that you don't know, but there's a lot of information out there now with the things that you need to know as a creator. When you log into your analytics, right, there's a section of that page that has the YouTube Insider, their latest video. Anytime a creator goes into their creator studio to check the analytics, YouTube Insider has a certain section of that page for their latest content. So there's not really much excuse to say you don't know when it's in your face every time you check your analytics, because even if you don't check the YouTube Creator Studio page or whatever, or I mean, even if you don't check the YouTube Insider page or channel, guess what? They put it in your face when you check your analytics. And don't tell me you don't check your analytics, because if you rock with VidIQ, I can guarantee you, you're probably checking your analytics. So you can't miss that stuff.
And ignorance is not an excuse from the law. I mean, that goes for everything. Mm-hmm. You can't speed down the highway and go, oh, I thought this was a 70. No, it's 35. Just because you didn't know that doesn't mean it's not illegal. It's the same thing here. If just because you don't know how something works is not an excuse. Will it, you know, get you off and, you know, of the issue if, you know, you're in the court or something? I mean, I don't think it's going to go that far for most of you. However, you don't want to be the first one to find out if that works, because I don't think it will. If you're at the point where someone is, the FTC or someone is taking you to court for something, you've probably done it enough times that it's a problem. So if you're doing it, stop it. If you're not, then just be educated on the whole situation.
I also think it's very important to note that creators need to realize that their viewers are very intelligent and they are smart, and they have a world of information in their hand. If they're watching you on YouTube, chances are they have a smartphone and they have all the information that they need in their hand when they're watching you, so they can fact check you at any time. So this go beyond disclosing sponsorship and things. If you come out and tell them it's raining one day, and then you try to come back and tell the viewer that, oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't raining, it was just water falling from the sky, whatever, they're going to fact check you, and they're going to think you're a flip-flopper or whatever the case may be, and then you're going to lose their trust. So this also goes back to understanding and maintaining the trust that you have with the viewer, which is so important as a creator. Don't do anything that can compromise your relationship with your viewer. Their trust in you as a creator is everything, and you need to do everything in your power to protect that at all costs, because once you lose that, good luck getting it back.
Yeah, it's much more costly than any fine you could ever pay. That's for sure.
It's a lot easier to tear something down than to build it up, let me tell you. Travis, any last thoughts about creator integrity and brand disclosures and things like that?
I think the thing is, like, it's fairly easy to find the answers to these questions. If you're not sure, there's communities out there. There's, you know, the VidIQ community is actually pretty great, especially in the live streams. You can come out to the live streams and there's chats there. If you have Boost or above, if you have one of our software packages, there, you have access to like a private Discord, which you can ask your questions there. We have a free Discord, even if you don't have a Boost or above. Like, there's answers out there and there's a community out there for you. And if you're listening to this and the one thing you're missing from your creator journey is a community, VidIQ is a great place for this, especially since we're starting to really double and triple down on community. So if you have questions, even about what we've just talked about, come to the community. Let's get you some good answers. Let's get you focused on the right things and get your creator journey going in the direction that you really want it to be.
And let me apologize to the Boston, because I know they don't like us plugging our own personal things on the airwaves. But
that's all right. I'm going to do it every time.
I am going to leave Travis's video in the show notes, because I think you all need to watch that, because you all can get a better understanding of where we're coming from. Maybe you watch this video. So check the show notes for the video. It will be there. Sorry, Boston, but we got to protect the people first. So
yeah, we do.
they don't understand. Travis, I appreciate you making the time, man. Always a pleasure having you on the podcast, my dude. Thank you so much.
Anytime, every time. Everyone out there, can't wait to see your new content. Go out there, kick butt, and take names here on VidIQ. Let's do it.
Appreciate you all listening to another episode. You know, your boy Viper will be back next week with another episode of Tube Talk, presented by VidIQ.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.